Welcome back to the Space Kaysera Show with the space nerds Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. We have my guest today, Adam from Geneva Lakes Astrophysics and STEAM, GLASS, which is the, you know, as in all things space science, acronyms are like life. So obviously he has one as well. And he is, you've been, how long have you been GLASS? How long? So 2018, right? You guys pretty much formed formally right after Yerkes shutdown?
Yes. I think the formation began about middle of 2018 during the shutdown. And then I kind of officially joined GLASS. I started as a volunteer and officially joined in about, I think, November or December of 2018.
Okay. So I mentioned it, the backstory a little bit in the first segment. So they were the educational team for Yerkes Observatory, which is based out of Williams Bay. Super, super cool. I mean, just go Google it really quick and see all the people who have studied and did work there, including a mutual legend that we all love, Carl Sagan. He worked on his master's there as well. And so the observatory shut down and they did not want their educational content to go to just disappear. So they formed their own organization and now they're continuing to keep it going. And why don't you talk a little bit, Adam, about GLASS as a whole, and then talk a little bit about iData.
All right. So, So at GLASS, we do quite a few things, but I think one of the things that we really excel at and is kind of one of the big niches is in kind of that accessibility for science area. So our president, Kate Meredith, was working on the iData project along with multiple other organizations. It was an NSF project. And so she's really kind of developed a lot of those skills of working with blind educators, blind students, blind scientists. So one of the cool things with the iData project, and I think it started back in 2015 or 16, and they wanted to build software and curriculum for students that were blind or visually impaired. And one of the things that I think not many people, it's not something that comes to mind, but astronomy is inherently a very visual science to many. Most people have, when they think of astronomy, they think of, they picture some sort of visual. Well, some people can't really do that. And so the representation in astronomy and many other STEM fields of people that are blind or low vision tends to be lower because there are higher barriers of entry. So iData was one of many projects that its goal was to develop this software that would help make astronomy more accessible to that community. And the really cool thing that they did is that they had blind scientists working on this. They had blind students working on this. And so they really made sure that they were involved in the entire development process, because making something for some group is not as good as making something with a certain group. And so that was one of the really cool things that iData did really well. And so that software is actually still used in a couple other things. And after, it's called Afterglow Access. It's this incredible software. You can load FITS images in. You can sonify them. So you can choose like the direction. You can choose, change pitches, how many tones there are. One of the things that cool things that has come out of that at GLASS is Kate now kind of leads the Sonification World Chat, which has kind of become this really cool collaboration of organizations and individuals around the world that are working on sonification, sharing information that they've learned, sharing the stuff that they're working on, and kind of coming together to kind of push some of those ideas and projects forward.
Yeah. So to give our listeners a bit of a context too of what sonification means, is basically there's sort of like a bar that goes across a picture of the night sky, and each light point basically is assigned a tone, and whatever that light point is has a certain pitch. So as it goes across, it makes this noise. And actually, I think what I'm going to do in post-production is find a sonification sound so that our listeners can hear it, because what better platform to actually demonstrate what this is than the radio?
Right.
Novel concept. So the concept of it though is super, super cool, because like a lot of people don't realize that when, you know, it seems overwhelming to you as a visually you know, seeing is kind of our primary, one of the strongest primary intakes of information that we get as human beings. And if that's taken away, the other senses get increasingly heightened. So to you listening, you're like, holy, whew, that's like a lot of noise. But to someone who can't see, they can pick apart all those different tones and tell what is happening mm-hmm. in that image. And it's so clever. Also, you guys, and I've seen this myself, which was so cool, you guys do a lot with 3D printing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when it comes to making things, you know, accessible for people that are blind and visually impaired, outside of, you know, sonifying, you know, making those things kind of an audio version, you can also make them tactile. And so a lot of the stuff that we do is making things that are 3D printed, because today, now, 3D printers are pretty widespread. I think most people either have a 3D printer or know someone that has a 3D printer. When you have like access to a tool like that and you can create these objects that allow you to kind of see in a different sense, you know, feel like actual objects in space. Some of the ones that are really cool that we've done is one of my favorites. And this is kind of outside of the iData project, but we created this game. We usually refer to it as the Galaxy Cards or Galaxy Dominoes, but we basically have 52 printed cards that are kind of about the size of maybe like, you know, 3 by 5 inches. And each one has a different galaxy from the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. And then on each edge, two of them are features of the galaxy. So knots, you know, things like... Oh, I'm already blanking on all of them. But, you know, different actual, like, physical components of the galaxies. Then you have, like, the general shape. And then on one side, you have a bar that represents kind of the overall color of the galaxy based on the spectra from the Sloan Digital Sky Survey. And you flip the card over, you have the actual spectra. So you can, if you put one in the middle and everybody has a couple of cards, you can play it like dominoes, matching up features. And then once you've kind of spread all those cards out, matching up features, you can... start to look at them and help teach how we categorize galaxies, how we kind of separate them out, and teach a lot about those different aspects in a way that is not, you know, just for people that are blind or visually impaired, but it's also really cool for any type of tactile learner, people that like to have things in their hands and like be doing something as they learn. So it's a very, very cool tool. And it's actually up on our website under the resources. So if you have a 3D printer and you want to try it out, it's a really cool thing to print and give a go.
This is why we throw out the handles right at the beginning. I want to hand the mic over, so to speak, to the guys and let them ask you some questions, because I'm super, you know, familiar with what you do and, you know, where you're located and you know, what all the things that we've been involved with, but they don't know as much as I do. So I'd love for them to ask any questions that might be popping up in their head.
I was kind of curious. I mean, I'm familiar with the concept of sonification. There was this great podcast that I used to listen to called Astro Soundbites, where they would include a sonification every week of, you know, these different sounds. And I think it's really fascinating, right? Like, there are different aspects, like you were saying, not just for people who are blind or visually impaired, different aspects that people who don't have visual impairments maybe wouldn't have noticed if they hadn't heard it or if they hadn't felt it in the tactile sense. I guess my question is, I'm curious, are there ways that the tools that you guys have created are being used in active research at the moment, or in education in an active way?
That's a really good question. So one of the ways that they are being used at the moment, like, so I mentioned Afterglow Access that really came out of the iData project. It's actually already now a central part of two other large grants out of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And that's the Our Place in Space and the Multi-Wavelength Universe curriculum. And so those are both working on making like actual curriculum, centralizing, using this tool so that's accessible for anyone. And so those are things that, like, you know, GLASS has worked on and been part of. And we have developed a lot of cool things, mostly tactile. When it comes to sonification, Kate likes to refer to herself more as like the den mother of sonification world chat, as far as like developing tools in house. I think more GLASS is more on the edge of making sure people are connected and working together and keeping people that are in the communities that these are designed for involved.
Nice. That's really cool. I think, honestly, a lot of the world could benefit from these tools, because sometimes people, when they see numbers and graphs and plots, they just kind of freak out. They're like, no science for me, thank you. But sonification really does have a much wider reach for everyone. Like, it's much more accessible intellectually. You can, especially if you hear a sonification of orbits or something, right? It's periodic, so you can hear rhythm, and it kind of literally resonates with people. So yeah, wow, it's just incredible work.
Yeah. Kavi had he did a sonification, or you shared a sonification of, what was it, the change of the Earth's temperature?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I made a sonification with a solar irradiance data, and I basically made two different sound files. One, a sonification of average global temperatures over the past 150 years, and the other one of average solar irradiance. And so, you know, the solar irradiance has this 11-year cycle, and it's going up and down, has a very clear up and down sound to it, whereas the average global temperatures kind of just go so it was an interesting way to present this idea that yes, the sun is definitely increasing and decreasing, but it is very separate from the change that we're seeing in our climate.
It was good. It was kind of creepy almost. Benjamin, do you have any questions? You have a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do, actually, about the 3D printing thing.
That's his thing.
I saw online. Yeah, this is fantastic. And I might start printing some of these things myself. I saw online 3D printing, a celestial sphere. So you could feel the night sky in your hands where all the constellations are in relative to each other, which I thought was just brilliant. And the Domino's card game that you mentioned, brilliant. I was wondering, what other types of things could, you know, be taught through 3D printing? I just find that fascinating as I'm looking at my 3D printer over here, looking for something to do. Those two things are incredible concepts. I was wondering what other 3D things are there that are tactile that would help teach astronomy.
So one of the really cool things is, like, with 3D printing is it also helps not just for making, you know, one solid thing that's 3D printed, but if you're trying to design something and you just don't have that part, you know, plugging that hole, you know, fixing, creating the exact part that you need. And so one of the things that kind of comes to mind is right now, Kate is working on with, it's either Opus or MWU, one of those two grants that I mentioned earlier about making a pulsar model. And so she's actually been taking a lacrosse ball, and we drill holes in it to have kind of like the magnetic poles. And so we 3D printed pieces that can kind of represent the 3D poles, and then have those lines coming out representing the magnetic field lines. And so those are all kind of 3D printed and connected. And then you stick like a wooden dowel through, and you have like the axis of rotation, and it kind of helps be able to demonstrate kind of like, you know, why those pulsars kind of send out pulses as they're spinning, and you can kind of see like the change in the direction of like the magnetic fields and how everything kind of works that way. Trying to go through all the things in my mind. Models of telescopes. A lot of times, you know, with big telescopes, no one's going to let you go up there and start touching the telescope to get an idea of what it feels like, what it looks like, how it's kind of structured and everything like that. And so and one thing you'll find online is we've collected models from across the internet, and we've tried to, you know, make sure we reference everywhere we've gotten them, but we kind of added them to our collection so that people can download them and find them in one place. And you can kind of get an idea for how different telescopes look. So how does a radio telescope look versus an optical telescope versus an infrared telescope? You know, James Webb versus Hubble, things like that. So the cool thing with 3D printing is I feel like we're always coming up with a new idea of something that we can print. And then it's just going out and picking out which color do we want to grab next for a PLA to print.
And sorry, go ahead, Benjamin.
No, I was saying,
I've been to, they've had two offices now, and I've been to their second office this past summer to return a job that I had long-term borrowed, and I was very sad to get back. And the little 3D printer section in the back, yeah, those things were just whirring away, like, It's a beautiful facility, a beautiful space that you moved into too. It's just a really cool kind of, it gives you that like Google office vibe where it's like open and it's really light and it's airy and it's just, it's a cool space. We need to take a break and then we need to talk a little bit about Messier Marathon Madness and the stuff that we're doing for that, and let the guys ask some more questions if they have any questions. So we're going to take a quick break. If you are listening on the station, we'll be back after a little bit of some music, maybe advertising. And when you get back, we're going to talk a little bit more with Adam from Geneva Lakes Astrophysics and STEAM, otherwise known as GLASS. You are listening to the Space Kay Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.